And welcome for my next test. If you're someone who's in the market for a supercharger that will look and perform as if it came off from a factory assembly line, then my next guest's company may be your solution. Hello, Grant. Thank you for taking time to speak with me. Would you care to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, Mario. Thanks for having me. My name is Grant Terry, and I'm in charge of sales and marketing for Magnuson Superchargers. Magnuson are based in Ventura, California, and have been involved in the supercharging industry for over 40 years. We mainly provide turnkey kits for the performance aftermarket, but we also supply product to the niche OEM and general market.
Okay, cool. So obviously you kind of answered one of the questions I was going to go leading up into next. During this whole stay-at-home business, stuff, saw your CEO do a roundtable meeting from SEMA, and she had mentioned that you guys were manufactured obviously in the U.S., but have you also seen the shutdown? How as much has it affected your guys' business for 2020 so far?
Yeah, so obviously we had a very strong growth plan in place for 2020, mm-hmm. Based on a lot of the new products that we launched last year. The key ones would have been the new Jeep kit, our 2650 products for the GM LT engines, and we'd also developed a new Tacoma kit. So we had a very strong plan in place for 2020. Great start to the year. January and February were very good months. And then we got to March, and, of course, COVID hit. Right. And so at that point, I think we were in the same boat as everybody else. We just didn't know what was going to happen. And I think one of the strengths that we have in our management team is we have a lot of folks that come from a variety of industries with different backgrounds. Me personally, I work for Eaton Corporation for 25 years, mostly in the supercharger business, but also touched on some of their other complementing products like valve train and differentials. We kind of sat together back in March and basically did some planning for the year, and we came up with various roadmaps that would take us through different scenarios. And at the time, we didn't know where it was going to go, what was going to happen. We had worst case scenarios as we started working through, getting through April into May and June. We realized that worst case wasn't going to happen. And luckily, we had these plans in place that allowed us to take turns depending on what was going on in the market. So it involved a lot of coordination between, obviously sales and marketing, production planning, supply chain. A lot of different things had to happen simultaneously to allow us to kind of navigate through this storm that we didn't know, how big it was going to be or how long it was going to last.
Gotcha.
So it did have an impact. Luckily, like I said, we had various game plans that we were able to draw on. And, the last 3 or 4 months have been extremely busy. And I think you've probably heard that from, from other companies as well. We've basically, we're on track to do better than what our original 2020 plan was.
That's great news, considering like some of at the early start of this whole mess in March, there was one particular company that I would never have thought of would have been affected by it, but they were more like in the airlift suspension companies, and they said they were shutting their doors down, and that blew me away as I'm, being shocked.
Yeah. And so I think a couple of things from Magnuson's perspective is because we are an OEM supplier, we supply service parts and spare parts. We stayed open. So the manufacturing facility in Ventura, stayed working, following, the rules and regulations that have been put in place.
Right.
I actually work in Michigan, so I am used to working remotely, And many of my team members are also remote. So for us, the transition to have people working from home was very, very easy. And we had a lot of people that had been doing that for several years. But like I said, it was a pretty seamless part of the process.
Yeah, it's kind of funny on that because I came back from a corporate background where, early on we wanted, the company mentality was, we need to have people in offices. We're spending this money on, leases and business furniture and such. But you think about it, it's like, well, if the people are willing to work from home.
Right. Well, I think if you look at Magnuson now, I mean, we've actually built a very strong engineering center in the Detroit area. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has been done over the last couple of years. And that, I think that's one of the reasons why we've stayed pretty nimble through this whole thing is we have people that are used to working remotely and communicating remotely. And if you look at the array of tools that you have available nowadays, video conferencing, what our computers can do, it's very, very easy and seamless to work from home.
And plus, as you said, you're in Michigan, so being close to your customer base, probably doesn't hurt either.
No, that's right. I mean, there's a lot of automotive activity in the Detroit area. Like I said, I worked for Eaton for 25 years, and I live just outside Detroit amongst the industry, and it allows us to be more reactive and work closely with some of our key customers.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that you work with a lot of OEMs, so do you see that being a good mix or fit, with what your business model? Because you had said earlier, you make turnkey kits for the aftermarket for people, so... Is it a balancing act when you're developing kits?
Yes, it is. It is. Obviously, the aftermarket, the performance kit side of the business is very focused on, probably gaps in the marketplace where there is opportunity to add a supercharger to a production vehicle. And there's really two ways to look at that. One would be a vehicle that doesn't come supercharged from the factory. I think our Toyota product line is a great example of that. And then there's also products where we're enhancing the product that comes from the factory. Good examples would be, the GM Corvette Camaros with the LT4 engine, right? That's already supercharged. We provide an upgrade for that takes it to the next level. And the same thing for the FCA Hellcat product that has a factory supercharger, and then we have an offering that allows you to, push the limits of that even further.
Now, that's interesting. You brought up a good point, but I don't know if it's even feasible. Don't know if you can because of NDAs, whatever. Obviously, GM has the C8 Corvette, and they're talking about possibly the Z06 model or the next ZR1 version of it, maybe turbo or supercharged for that model year. But all of the things I've been hearing from at least the aftermarket hot rodding tuning community is GM has got that vehicle locked as far as tuning abilities. So do you see that being a problem as manufacturers go further with other vehicles, not say GM, but any manufacturers?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that cybersecurity is what's driving that. As vehicles have more technology and a lot of the service updates are basically flashed
over the air, by
Wi-Fi, right? So the manufacturers are having to put security measures into the electronics to stop hackers or criminals or whatever from having access or gaining access to the vehicle's functions. Unfortunately, one of the side effects of that is locking the aftermarket companies out from being able to recalibrate the engine to accommodate the addition of performance products. We've seen it to some extent on GM products. The 2019 pickup truck had kind of a next level security, which proved to be quite tough to access. Mm-hmm. But you're right in saying that the C8 has, you know, GM's what they call their Global B security, which is very, very difficult to get around, and I think that's the future. I think more and more OEMs are going to start transitioning to that type of security feature in their ECUs, making it difficult, if not impossible, for the aftermarket to get into. Now the way around that is to obviously work closely with the OEMs, and if you can demonstrate that you're a preferred supplier and you're not a criminal, I think there's going to be programs where they allow access to certain features to allow some of the performance add-ons in the aftermarket.
Yeah, that's where I kind of like see, probably with the help of SEMA themselves and, like you said, established companies, who want to develop aftermarket kits that obviously, whatever.
Right.
Probably some kind of like, with all the manufacturers, some kind of like database or certified licensing setup may need to be set up where, hey, this is what we would like to be able to tune it, maybe submit the tune to the manufacturer and they can approve it or not. Kind of like the app stores do it,
Right.
But
yes, but I think the OEMs need to control what features can be accessed, and I think the concern is that you could go in and do something that would, mess something else up on the vehicle, whether it be a safety system, right? There's so many more hooks and loops now in the calibration that impact safety, and that's kind of one of the key things, that you don't want to do something and have an issue. So, I think the OEMs are probably willing to do that. It's just going to take some time for them to get their head around it and roll it out.
Yeah, that's so true. You beat the days of when I had a friend who was a powertrain engineer for Ford, and this is back during the second generation Lightning days, and he had his marching orders from their lawyer department stating, okay, you need to do these parameters from 2 to 3 shift, and he was telling me, like, yeah, I had to go wide open throttle, from second to third, while one hand on the steering wheel and the other hand on the keyboard making adjustments. That's pucker factor.
Day in the life of a calibrator. There you go.
Cool.
So, I think it's gonna become more challenging, but I think there'll be ways around it and paths to work with the OEMs direct.
Cool. Okay, don't want to be too political on this one, but recently California's governor signed an executive order banning the future sales of gasoline vehicles by 2035. Do you think that's going to be affecting your business going forward?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a big deal. The reality is that we've all known about some of these headwinds coming for quite some time now. I think for the next few years, right, it's probably going to be business as usual, right? But as the OEMs change their product mix to comply with, these type of regulation changes, it's going to change things. Now, Magnuson recognized this a couple of years ago, and we really started to rethink and reformat how we do our strategic planning, which would include some diversification. Today we're 100% a supercharger company. Moving forward, we think this will stay our main path, but we will diversify into alternative markets, and we'll look at opportunities outside of your typical supercharger application. The bottom line is a root supercharger is a positive displacement air pumps.
Right.
And there are lots of applications out there that need a precise way of delivering air. Could be industrial.
Aircraft.
There's a lot of markets out there. We've done a lot of work at looking at alternative markets. which would include things like marine, power sports, that type of thing. So we've already begun the planning process, and we started that a while ago because we recognize that, that there's going to be some stronger headwinds down the road, and we need to be able to address that.
Okay. So, like I said, normally you and I or one of your colleagues I'd be talking to on the convention floor about what latest product offerings you have coming out for the year. So what do you guys have coming up? Or are you planning on, or we're going to be announcing this week?
So that's a great question. And, you know, in some ways I'm thankful that my feet are not hurting right now and my back's not sore. So that's one of the pluses of not being in Vegas.
I can relate.
Probably the only plus that I can think of, right?
Yeah.
I've been going out to SEMA for, I used to go out there with Eaton. It's probably the last 20 years I've been at the show. So it's kind of strange not being out there this time of year. But
during the whole when they started the lockdown thing and everything, it's like. Part of me was hoping that they would have it, but realistically, I just said, it's not going to happen. The borders aren't going to be opened, international market.
That's right, the international market. And then when you think about how packed it is on the floor in the aisleways, I just couldn't see it moving forward in person. But, super glad that SEMA found a way to offer something, and I think considering the time they had, they did a great job putting the SEMA 360 event together. It's been a bit of a learning curve, getting used to how to use it properly. But it still allowed us to kind of talk about our new products. And the big news for us this year is the new larger TVS 3100 supercharger. We've worked very closely with Eaton, and they listened to what we were saying about the need for something bigger, yet something that would still, package reasonably in a lot of the OEM applications. So we have the new 3100. We're planning to launch it in a variety of flavors over the next 3 or 4 months. The main applications will be upgrades to our current Mag Drag and Hot Rod systems for GM's LS engines. We have a Hellcat version ready to go. In addition to, later in the year, an upgrade to the very successful 2650 Magnum DI on the LT engines. For us, an all-new Magnum system for the port injection GM engines. We call it Magnum PI, which is, kind of a bit of a play on the name. We have the Magnum DI for direct injection, and the Magnum PI was the product for the port injection. So that's a new product for us. We're super excited about that. We continue to see growth in that LS market. I think you're going to continue to see, the LS engines being used for LS swaps and hot rods, race engines for a long time coming. So for us to have the new product for that is a big step forward for us.
Cool.
The other new product that we have coming out is a system for the 2019 plus GM pickup trucks. This will be available either as a 2650 or a 3100. And that will be launching early next year.
Okay. Perfect. Just curious, do you have anything in the older Ford F-150 market, any kits available? Have you seen a chance to peruse your website?
So on the Ford side, that's a great question. Magnuson, typically, our focus had been on GM and Toyota. They were probably the two bigger brands that we produce kit for. Mm-hmm. About 18 months ago, we actually joined up with VMP, and we actually manufacture all of VMP's superchargers now. And they offer a variety of kits for, obviously the Coyote engines, but they also do product that would fit on some of the older platforms as well. Okay. So in addition to all of the stuff I talked about with 3100, we're also launching a whole range of Ford-based systems for VMP.
Okay. I've heard of, I think, VMP is who I'm thinking of. I think they're out of Florida, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong.
Yes, that's correct. They're in New Smyrna Beach in Florida. Correct.
Okay. I'll have to check them out because, like I said, I got a nice little 2004 F-150 Lariat with a 5.43 valve. Maybe down the road it may make a great shop project vehicle for my
absolutely.
So we've
been working with those guys like I said for about 18 months now, and it's proved to be a great partnership. And we manufacture the superchargers for them, and they basically look after the channels and distribution.
Definitely want to give them a look, but my only concern about, I guess you could say their VMP is a manufacturer, but, to the level up, my concern is compliancy, approval, executive order, legal, those are my concern,
VMP basically take care of that themselves. So, for most of their kits, I know that they are, they submit the necessary vehicles for testing in California, and they will take care of that piece of it themselves.
Okay, definitely. I'm going to have to try to reach out to VMP and see if I can get them to add on to this little conversation, get their part if I can. So I'll have to try to reach out to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin Starkey is the owner, and I'm sure he would love to talk to you, and I can certainly help you connect with him.
Oh, definitely would appreciate that. Definitely would make this interview a little bit more, what's the word I'm trying to think, entertaining, I guess, or informative.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Cool. I think that was, thank you for your time, and I think that's about all the questions I could think of. So let me do a quick outro for everyone. So if you're new here, seeing this video on YouTube or listening to this on the podcast, I would appreciate a subscribe, hit that like button, and if you could share this video, it would very much be appreciated because the YouTube algorithm is sure as heck not sharing me. So thank you very much, and see you next time.